This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's great to be here today. Tomorrow at Nova, site of WIP's Full Court Frenzy. Bunch of basketball activities going on in the pavilion's court while we do our show. You can participate in some of them. Half court shot, big game and knockout. Now, you got to be there, obviously, to win. People will be chosen at random to participate. Got to be 18 or older to be on the court to play. But get yourself out to Villanova tomorrow. Bring the kids. They can watch. And all of this to help hopefully raise a lot of money in the fight against cancer through the Big Five's association with Coaches Versus Cancer, and money directly going then to the American Cancer Society. You can make a direct donation today, tomorrow, frankly, any day. PhillyCVC.org. That's the website, PhillyCVC.org. Now, I just sent you guys a text message with the brackets as we picked them about an hour ago. What stands out to you, good or bad, about people's chances here to, you know, in the free throw shooting contest to, as they say in the tournament, survive and advance? And ultimately, you know, if I win this thing, I'm cutting down Villanova's net tomorrow. So, well, Seltzer, bring a ladder!
Yeah,
bring a ladder!
My initial, if I just look at it and I'm sizing it all up, I have like one big takeaway.
What's that?
You're losing. That's like my only big takeaway.
So, Nakobe Dean in the first competition for me, and then in all likelihood, Harold Jensen in the next round.
I am intrigued by the Jack Fritz-Pat Carroll matchup.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I think Pat's going to smoke him, but I can't wait.
I hope so. Mike Quick and John Clark, another good battle in there.
Well, John Clark's a great tennis player. I don't know how good. Is he a great basketball player?
Tall.
I do not know.
That helps. He is tall. Yeah. He's very tall.
But, you know, a lot of tall people play basketball just because, you know, the coach says, get in there, fifth grader. But they have no skill.
No.
You know, so does John Clark have skill? I don't know.
This is a huge embarrassment for the Hammer when you go out in the second round.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be bad. I mean, or the first round.
You
might not make it to the second round. You're giving it. Nakobe Dean absolutely could beat him at free throws.
You're right. Jimmy, I should not look past Nakobe. There's a very good chance Nakobe Dean has skills. You don't see other guys from the Eagles, you know, football guys,
stepping up
lining up to go shoot baskets. If you are asking to shoot under normal circumstances as a professional athlete, you're good.
Generally true. I need Ray's assessment here. So Ray, I did say something about 2 minutes ago.
Damn!
Said something that, I don't know, maybe I'll stand by, maybe not. Would it be obnoxious, Ray, if I win this thing, would it be obnoxious to actually cut down the net?
Yeah, of course.
it's
obnoxious you even thinking of doing it, much less doing it.
Cut down the net.
Can you imagine cutting down the net?
Joe, that would be...
I don't think
this is an absurd hypothetical. You're not winning. Yeah, go for it. I'll speak for Villanova. Cut down the net, no problem.
I'm sure WIP will reimburse him for a net.
Sure, no problem.
I think probably costs $3.
If you win, I will take the hit. If anyone has any issues, you can cut down the net.
All right. Well, Seltzer, tomorrow morning when you get there, I need you to identify the ladder and scissors. Ladder and scissors.
Now, the last time you did one of these foul shooting things...
Yes.
For the public.
Yes.
Right? You did very well. You made, you took 50 shots? How many did you make?
So we've done it twice. The first time I made 38 shots out of 50 for 76%.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Last time I made 36 out of 50 for 72. I'm going in the wrong direction.
68% is what he's looking at this year. If it sticks in the same trajectory, or you're heading down to 68.
Well, listen, that won't get it done. I mean, you know how great a shooter Mike Vreeswijk was, Ray.
Yeah, Mr. 3 points.
And Harold Jensen. I mean, there's
Harold Jensen.
Is Vrieswijk in your bracket?
Vrieswijk is, he's like at the top of the bracket. So, no, he would be on the other side, if you will.
Okay.
By law.
Joe's going to have to win a few times to get to Vrieswijk. I don't think he can get past the second round.
I mean, N'Kobe Dean in round one, and then either the winner of Fransky or Harold Jensen, which obviously is going to be Harold Jensen.
Yeah.
So
94%.
Yeah, last year, Harold Jensen, who's probably 55.
Right.
He shot 47 out of 50 in this competition last year.
Right.
And lost.
Like he wasn't trying.
To Jameer. Jameer was 48 out of 50.
They were both super casual.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It was like, I'll just throw it out.
Harold had the kind of stroke that you never lose. I mean, he was just a pure
shooter.
Oh,
it's there.
And he could make that when he's 70.
But that's
who Joe has
but
to
Ray,
be.
But Ray, that's how the
hammer
feels also about himself.
But you continue to fail. Like, you haven't gotten anywhere close
John,
to 94%.
John, what do they say about the third time? What do they say?
That you'll fail?
Ray?
The third time like you did
third
the first
time.
A charm.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. unlike John, Ray.
Third time's going to do you some harm, I think.
Yeah.
Bad things happen in threes. That's another thing they
third
say.
Time.
The one thing that I find interesting about this whole conversation is you seem to be already projecting yourself into the second round,
such a good point,
Kobe Dean's a 16 seed.
I don't know what he is.
He's an athlete.
You know who's also an athlete, not at the pro level? Athlete, stop right it. Here. Let's go to
Joe,
the phones.
Joe doesn't factor in the athleticism of those. Athlete.
No, I bet you N'Kobe Dean's probably pretty darn good. He probably is.
Right, I bet he can dunk.
Let's go to the. Yeah, I'm sure he can dunk. Yeah. That I cannot do.
Dunking competition. N'Kobe versus Joe.
Oh, no. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Hey, just for context, Ray, you might not remember this because you're not on the show every day, but last year's free throw shooting competition wound up in Joe having to have his nipples waxed. Mm. So I'm wondering what the waxing stakes are for this year.
Oh, that's a good question.
Wow. You know, Ken, we had not delved into this.
Yeah, no waxing, first off. And no West Wing. I'm not giving up
either
of them.
He cheated because he went and shaved everything.
You're right.
Before they-
All I had to do was get the nipples waxed, which they were.
So weaselly.
But
Joe.
You did
so
shave.
Well, I made sure that I didn't give her a big target to shave all the other stuff.
And it's truly cheap. You cheapened it.
and somehow we didn't pick up on the fact that there was only hair immediately surrounding the nipple.
I was surprised you didn't notice.
You took off the shirt, and it was like little burger patties over the nipples.
It really was.
Little burger patties of hair.
John, why are you looking at me? I have nothing to do with this conversation. I want no part of it.
I was trying to describe
Ray is a man
to
of class.
Make sure you understood where we were coming from to describe
fully
the scenario.
You know what the thing is, Ken? Ray, and this is one of the many things I love about Ray. He still has Sister Mary, whomever, in fifth grade in his ear. Like, Ray is an
Sister Clara Ursula.
Yeah, upstanding individual, as raised by the nuns all those years ago. Not raised, but, you know, brought along in life,
mm-hmm.
Mentored, matured by. Counseled by.
The Sisters of St. Joseph never leave your side. No matter how long you live, you never forget the Sisters of St. Joseph.
All right, Ken, what do you got on the Eagles or the Phils? Otani, what do you got?
Well, Ray, you're talking to the first person to publicly state that Hassan Reddick would not be an Eagle in 2024, and I did that last summer on these airways. So
you are patting yourself on the back a wee much now at this point on that point. You've made that point. Would you say, Ken, 16 times or 17 times now?
Well, every time somebody tries to find some silver lining of hope that Hassan Reddick is somehow going to play for the Eagles.
He might still be here. He still could, Ken.
John, I'll get something waxed if he's playing for the Eagles next year.
Are you sure about that? I mean, right now, as it stands, they've pushed back his bonus to where another team can pay it if they decide to take him on. But right now, $14.25 million in addition to a $1 million bonus, that is affordable for a great edge rusher. I'd be surprised if no one takes him up on that offer. The problem is he wants more than that. He wants the extension. He wants money guaranteed, and they're working through that part. I don't think it's out of the question that he could be an Eagle. But I don't want to be considered crazy either.
The other piece of it is what the Eagles want, right? So right now, yeah. if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would bet that this is a draft night trade to a team that doesn't get the edge guy that they want in the first round.
I think that makes sense.
Howie fleeces somebody, because that's what Howie does best. When they see Howie's calling the other GMs, they see it's Howie on the phone, they pause a second before they answer.
Ken, that could be. Give me an answer. Human, non-human relationship.
Most people probably only know it as a movie, but it was one of my favorite books of all time growing up as a kid. John Thornton and Buck in Call of the Wild.
Yeah, you got it, man. That's a good answer, man. Right there. Really good answer.
Love that book.
Yeah.
Did lots of projects on Call of the Wild. Anytime I could do a project on Call of the Wild,
was that about fifth grade?
Yeah, fifth grade, elementary school. You could stretch it into sixth. Like, I do think I put on my dad's Navy uniform and pretended that I was, John Thornton.
Actually, now that I think about it, Ray can solve a problem. Ray, we were trying to figure out 2 weeks ago if Shane died at the end of Shane.
I don't think so.
Thank you.
He just sort of rides off, right?
Yeah, but he's shot, but he's and he slumps over. He dies.
So the difference is there's apparently a book and a movie difference.
Yes.
In the movie,
he dies.
He's alive. We did this whole thing. We realized 2 hours into it. Like,
you realize.
Oh,
we were all talking about the movie,
well,
and you were
about
talking about
the book.
Yeah. Who talks about the book, Shane?
I talk about the book. Okay. It came before the movie.
Yeah.
So anyway, there
is a difference between books and movies. Do you realize in the original book of First Blood that became Rambo, hardly anybody's read the book, I suppose, except for me, in the book, Rambo dies.
Wow.
In the book, his mentor, the special forces officer who comes back, kills Rambo at the end.
No. Studio executive says.
Why would he do that?
Because Rambo is, the guy has come to the conclusion that Rambo is he's going to go through life and he's going to be a ticking time bomb.
Oh.
And he's going to, there's no going
to
be
too
no
dangerous
control.
To he's set a, that in
lost,
motion.
He's a lost cause.
Yeah.
He's a ticking time bomb. He's going to kill a bunch of people.
Huh.
I got to take him down. So the officer, whatever his name is, Colonel whatever, he kills Rambo at the end. And
didn't test well.
When they were getting ready to put the movie together,
the sequel.
Stallone said,
oh.
No. Stallone said, I don't die in movies. And if you think about it, Stallone has never died in one of his movies.
Wow.
And he said, I don't die in movies. He said, this thing is going to be a big hit, and there'll be sequels, and we'll all make money.
Yeah, smart.
If you kill Rambo now, that... We're
Tom Cruise is
money.
The same way. So, Tom Cruise refuses
so
to die in movies.
So Rambo lived. But in the original book, Rambo dies.
Wow. That's good knowledge.
No idea.
All right, Ray, let's take that knowledge and apply it to our fightin' Phils.
Mm-hmm.
2 days to opening day. What's top of mind for you when it comes to the Phillies this year? Obviously, this should be year three of them making the playoffs.
Yes.
Can't totally take it for granted, but seems very likely. What's top of mind for you?
If you're looking at all the people that are handicapping the National League, I mean, everybody has the Dodgers and the Braves as the two super teams. Right now I would probably put them ahead of the Phillies, but I certainly think the Phillies are going to be in the playoffs. And they play really well in October. So I think they're going to get there. The only thing that concerns me is I think their rotation's really good. I think Sanchez could really be sort of a sleeper guy that comes in and really plays well for them, pitches well for them. I think there's a lot there with him that you might start to see this year when he puts it together. The only thing that concerns me is how are you going to shake out the bullpen? You know, who's going to be, you know, ultimately who's going to be the guy? I mean, Thompson, every time he's asked about it, Thompson, he seems fairly comfortable with the idea that from day to day it might be a different guy, that I'm not going to have a designated closer, that we got a lot of guys that can do the job. Okay, we'll see. You know, I guess Alvarado would probably get the first call. But, you know, Dominguez, you know, he's got to be good. I mean, Soto has got to be good. I mean, Hoffman has got to be good because they're all going to get some high-leverage situations. You know, I think Alvarado will probably get the bulk of it. But I wish, to me, you have some pretty good arms out there. But right now it just seems a little murky to me exactly how Rob's going to use them.
So
but I think they're going to be really good. I think they're going to be a playoff team for sure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
First off, you just did something I don't think any human's ever done, ever, in a minute. You called Rob Thompson, Thompson, and you called Sir Anthony Dominguez. I've never heard either ever apply to either person, and you did it in one little batch right there. It was unbelievable. Everybody calls him Sir Anthony. Everybody calls him Rob Thompson. You give him a Thompson. All right, so we'll see, Ray. Look, I agree with you. They got to figure that out. They got a long time. One thing they still have time to figure out, although at some point Jordan Montgomery will be off the market. But he's still available. Tywan Walker, of course, with his issue right now. We don't know how long it'll linger. Let's listen to Jim Salisbury. He was talking yesterday to Joe and Hugh in the midday show, and Salisbury talked about the Jordan Montgomery situation.
The Phillies, it just seems, have been very, very reluctant. You know, they've talked about him. They like him. They understand what he could do for them. Probably more of a need now with a guy down. You know, that said, they have a reluctance to jump over that third tier of the luxury tax, which the signing of Montgomery would do. And I don't even know if it's so much the tax and the money as it is the impact it could have on draft position, international signings, et cetera, because they need to get young players, continue to procure young players to sustain this thing. So, you know, if he's still out there come midseason, you know, we'll see. It seems like he could be one of those hired gun types.
So we'll see where that goes. An interesting point, though, about trying to protect the future
of the luxury tax is something I hadn't heard mentioned before.
Well, I agree with you on that. I agree with that. I hadn't heard that. But the other thing that I thought was very interesting, maybe astute in there from Jim Salisbury, was this concept of protecting the future with young players and not giving up draft picks by signing players. You know, maybe John Middleton looks at it and says, you know, I remember when we were really good, you know, 10, 12, 14 years ago, whatever it was, that run. And then, you know, they stunk. You know, they got all these players, the veteran players, and then the whole bottom fell out from the Phillies organization, or do they try to protect against that?
So there is one that Jordan Montgomery does not have draft pick compensation with him. Snell did. That was an issue with the Snell thing. Montgomery doesn't. Now there might be international money attached, which Salisbury also mentions, but there is no they don't lose a draft pick if they sign Montgomery.
What happens to him here, James? I mean, the season starts in 2 days. Technically, it already started last week when the Dodgers played overseas. Is this guy ever going to sign?
Yeah, I think someone will sign him eventually. Whether it's another injury, if a team loses a guy. I know the Gerrit Cole thing, they thought the Yankees would sign him. They didn't. But I think a team will get desperate and sign him eventually. But it might be, you know, remember Dallas Keuchel, what was that, June or something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, so I it could linger. I don't expect it to linger that far, but it could.
Yeah, it could. All right, let's go to the phones, talk to Scott right now. He's calling from Delaware. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Scott.
Good. Hey, Ray, great to hear you on the radio.
Oh, nice to be here, Scott. Thank you.
So I'm super excited for the Philly season this year. I'm as excited as I think I've been in a long time. In terms of the Jordan Montgomery thing, I think I'd probably ride the situation out for now and see where it lands. But I'd rather stick with their guns and maybe see what happens at the trade deadline, see how the season's shaken out at that point. I didn't know what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, ordinarily I would say go get the best players you can and go get them right away. But, you know, they spend so much money. I can't be in a bad mood that they don't sign this guy. I
agree.
You know, it sounds weird because we're so used to, for so many decades, rightfully so, righteously complaining about the Phillies not spending enough. But I'm cool.
You. They're spending the money, so you can't accuse them of that. The other thing I wanted to point out too is this new tackling rule in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I saw the videos. I don't get it. I mean, I just think it's too much. I know you want to reduce injuries and everything like that, but I don't know. I don't really like the rule. I didn't know what you guys thought.
I agree. I want to get Ray's call on that one. Scott, give me an answer. Human, non-human relationship. This is for the Phillies tickets.
How about, has Elliot and E.T. been said?
Has been said, yes.
How about John Connor and the Terminator in Terminator 2? Wow.
I was waiting all show for a great answer.
That is a big answer. And it's non-human. John Connor and T2. Okay.
Really like that.
Good stuff.
Becomes the father he never had. Remember that moment when she's looking around? She talks about how...
Yes. Yes. I do remember that. All right, Ray, what's the answer on this new NFL rule? You can't drop your body weight with the hip to tackle the guy that you got sort of wrapped up and you're just dead in your weight and bring him down and you fall on the guy's legs.
Right.
We all know in theory it sounds great to try to prevent injuries, but from a practicality standpoint, two questions. One, how enforceable will this be by referees in the moment to actually call it accurately? Mm-hmm. And two, is this good for the pro football entertainment value?
Okay. No and no. No and no.
It's simple.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff at the competition committee to me makes no sense. It seems to me that people are passing these rules are people like never played football.
Exactly.
I don't know how you...
They haven't tried to do these things that they are assuming are easy to do physically. Like, some of these things don't make sense.
It doesn't make sense to me at all. I mean, I'll tell you one of the things that's at work here, Joe, and nobody's going to admit this. Mm. They're worried about scoring in the NFL. Scoring has gone down each of the last 3 years. And everything, and I can tell you from having been at NFL Films for 12 years and having sat in on a lot of meetings, everything is about driving scores up, 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 because they think that's what TV viewers want. They think they want higher scoring games. Believe it or not, fantasy football plays into it. The people want yards. They want touchdowns. They want points. So when they see points declining, which they have for the last 3 years, immediately they say, how can we get more scoring back in the game? Okay, well, why don't we make a league that's already a bad tackling league worse? Let's do that. Let's see how that works out, because that's what you kind of got. I don't know how. One of the things that's going to be a byproduct of this is you're going to have officials on the field that are going to have to be, again, trying to make these judgment calls about intent. What's he trying to do? Was he trying to hurt the guy? Is that really what he wanted to do? On the fly? Are you kidding me? I mean, if you have a 190-pound safety trying to wrestle down a 250-pound tight end down the seam, you're just trying to get him on the ground.
Yeah.
You're not worried about anything other than just trying to get him on the ground. So now if you're the referee, okay, is that what he did? Is that what he intended to do? How do you judge that? And, you know, it's going to lead to more penalties, more questions, more replays where people are going to be saying, that's not that. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. The game comes to a dead stop.
Yeah.
I hate it. I mean, you can't argue against the idea of trying to make it a safer game. I mean, who could be opposed to that? I want that, too. But do it within the realm of common sense. To me, this is not common sense.
I mean, this would be like a boxer said, all right, you box, but you're not allowed to hit the guy in the head. Oh, okay. I mean, some sports, it is what it is. Boxing's violent. Football's violent. Hockey's got violence. I mean, I will always contend hockey has gone down with most of the removal of violence. I mean, it's my belief. Now, I understand there was legal issues at play, and I get it. It stinks for a 23-year-old who's a skilled hockey player to be jumped. No one wants that for their kid if you got a 23-year-old kid. I mean, I know it was Mario Lemieux's complaint. Well, everyone's always holding me, clutching me, grabbing me, not letting me be the skilled player I am. And I empathize with that. But I also know this. I watched more hockey in the 1990s than in the 2010s, in the 2020s. Just, it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these sports, I mean, I just feel like football, man. I mean, and if I'm a guy like Montana, I'm like, you know what? If I got to start over today with the rules, maybe I'd get 7 Super Bowls.
He probably would.
You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, Joe Montana, like, that's the one, I'll say this, that's the one argument about Montana versus Brady that I feel like we'll never really have an answer to, from the standpoint of, if Joe Montana got to play with the rules Tom Brady played most of his career with, maybe he does get to 7 rings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really funny. Probably the question that I am asked more by people is, who is the greatest quarterback of all time? I mean, I get that question all the time. And my answer is, If you had to pick based on an entire career, career accomplishments, body of work, it's got to be Brady, right? Certainly in terms of the records, the yards, yes, the touchdowns, the wins, the championships, MVPs in his 40s. Yeah, you'd say it's got to be Brady. But then I turn it around to the person and I say, okay, let me ask you this. If tomorrow is the Super Bowl and you're the coach and you can pick one quarterback out of all the quarterbacks that have ever played to play that game for you, who would you pick?
Yeah.
In my view, I would pick Montana. Okay. So if you're, while I will say, you know, Brady's the greatest.
And Mahomes has entered the conversation. Jeez, clearly. Let's not forget that also.
I'm surprised by your answer.
I'm not.
I'm so surprised that you would go Montana over Mahomes.
Yeah, I would.
Like you, Patrick Mahomes, my gosh, can probably throw the ball twice as hard, twice as far, twice as, you know, maybe not accurately. The skill set is ridiculous.
Absolutely. I agree with all of that.
But so you just feel Joe Montana had that something that
he played
made him special.
He played his best in the biggest game. And if I had to win one game, it would be him. So if that's my conclusion, aren't I saying he's the greatest?
It's a way to say it.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, there are two different ways of looking at the same question. But if you're saying, give me one game and I'll pick one quarterback, I'll take Joe because he was in four Super Bowls, won all of them.
Right.
MVP three times, 122 passes, zero interceptions.
Yeah.
When in the biggest moment, he was at his best. That's the guy I want.